Hello, and welcome to Only Lovers Book Club. We are three Latinx besties reading romance. We take turns, and this month was my turn to pick, so we will be discussing Reggie and Delilah's Year of Fallen by Elise Bryant. And I'm really excited because it was a very sweet book, and I'm just excited to have the three of us talking about it. Before we get into it, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves and describe, like, if we're wearing something on theme or if our background's on theme, and I can go first. So my background is kind of like the cover of an adventure from Dungeons & Dragons by Wizards of the Coast. It's journeys through the Radiant Citadel, and this is one of the adventures that, actually, it's like got a couple of adventures written in, and all of them are written by people of color. And so my background is kind of like this fantasy bazaar. There's like elves and there's some sort of strange bat creature like stealing fruit. We were just talking about fruit. So I'm going to call this Tashai. I'm going to call this like a little bat Tashai. It's giving Fern Gully vibes. And then on top of that, I'm also wearing one of my favorite like D&D inspired or RPG inspired shirts, which says natural, it's beige, natural 20. This book has a little bit of romance, a little bit of tabletop role playing, a little bit of punk rock. And so I didn't have for everything, but I definitely had for Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm not really drinking. I'm drinking like a leftover soda that I had from lunch that my sister brought me. But that's it. That's me. I'm Chris. And yeah, I'll have Drea introduce herself next.
Hello. Hello. I am not wearing anything other than cozy clothes, which is what I wear anytime I'm playing any sort of role-playing game with Chris, who's really the only person I game with. But Chris does have a monthly mini role-playing game club online that you all should join if you are into that. So maybe you can post the link down below. For my background, I went with a Vox Machina background because they reference the show Roll With It so much in the book, which I assume is just Critical Role. And I have not heard their episodes because I am not an auditory person and cannot sit through hours long podcasts like Chris can and like my spouse can. But I did watch the show, the animated show version of one of their campaigns with Chris and Shaka. So that's my background. Vox Machina, probably the most violent show that I watch, but I love Grog. He's my favorite.
This is Tashai. I don't have any background on, but I am wearing a tiny, tiny St. Patrick's Day hat that I borrowed from my husband's mom. And I have a pair of beads on, even though I don't really know if you wear beads during St. Patrick's Day, but I do for today. And I'm wearing a White Claw. Not yet. I'm drinking a White Claw that has been carefully placed far enough away from me to avoid the wine incident of 2021.
I think that at some point I've roped one or both of you into playing some sort of role-playing game. I don't think we've played instruments together, but me and Tashai had like our college band, Pussy Squad. Pussy Squad Lives. Let's talk a little bit about the book and what it's about. We'll talk a little bit about the author as well, and then I'll talk about why I picked it. I mean, I feel like it's obvious. I love the book. It's got a lot of stuff I like in it, but we can get even more specific. So Tosh, if you could please read the description, that'd be great.
Delilah always keeps her messy, gooey insides hidden behind a wall of shrugs and yeah, whatevers. She goes with the flow, which is how she ends up singing in her friend's punk band as a favor, even though she'd prefer to hide at the merch table. Reggie is a D&D dungeon master and self-declared blurred. He spends his free time leading quests and writing essays critiquing the game under a pseudonym, keeping it all under wraps from his disapproving family. These two, who have practically nothing in common, meet for the first time on New Year's Eve. And then again on Valentine's Day, and then again on St. Patrick's Day. It's almost like the universe is pushing them together for a reason. Delilah wishes she was more like Reggie, open about what she likes and who she is, even if it's not cool. Except, it's all a front. Reggie is just role-playing someone confident, the kind of guy who could be with a girl like Delilah. As their holiday meetings continue, they begin to fall for each other. But what happens once they realize they've fallen for a version of the other that doesn't really exist?
Elise Bryant is the NAACP Image Award nominated author of Happily Ever Afters, One True Loves, and Reggie and Delilah's Year of Falling. She was born and raised in Southern California. For many years, Elise had the joy of working as a special education teacher, and now she spends her days writing swoony love stories and eating dessert. She lives with her husband and two daughters in Long Beach.
Right now is when I'm going to issue a spoiler alert. If you have not read Reggie and Delilah's Year of Falling and you don't want any spoilers, pause the video, go read it, take a couple of days, come back and finish it and listen to our discussion about it. But we'll probably be talking about quite a few things, maybe spoiling the ending, probably spoiling the ending. So spoiler warning issued now. Ta-da! Okay. So let's talk about why I picked the book. I love Elise Bryant's young adult fiction. It's so good and satisfying. Those three books that you mentioned when you were reading her author bio, slam dunks, every single one. And not necessarily in the same way. The first one that I read, I think, was Happily Ever Afters. And I did a cover recreation of that because it was like cute. We were in the pandemic, didn't have much to do. And it's just such a cute cover. I'll go ahead and put the covers here, post-production. And so ever since that one, it just brought me so much joy. I went ahead and picked up One True Loves, and that one had a fantastic main character. I loved her so much. And then this one kind of was somehow everything that I could have possibly ever wanted in a young adult book that represented me. And then also had like the lovely romance to go along with it. What did you think? What were your overall impressions? And then I've got a couple of questions to kind of like dig deeper into the things that I am nosy about.
This book was really cute. It was really fun. I thought that it was probably one of the most like believable books that I've read with youths in a while. Because sometimes it's like, oh, the main character is just like perfect in every way. And like their flaw is, you know, they collect like Russian dolls or something, like whatever the flaw is, it's a flaw that's like not really a flaw because everything else, they're just like perfect. And, you know, we've been reading a couple more books now where like people will have, you know, invisible illnesses or, you know, they have stuff going on where they are perfect, but they're making like bad choices that it's really hard to understand why they're choosing to like lie and steal someone's digital identity and like pretend to be someone they're not, you know, that kind of stuff, which is like way, way harsh, Ty. But with this book, it's like the characters felt more realistic and like they were good kids. They seemed smart, but they weren't like perfect. And the only reason they seemed perfect was like through the eyes of the person who liked them. So it felt like Reggie was really realistic when he was, you know, when we were in his head, when we were in his moment, he was really good at some things. And then he like wasn't good at other things. And the same thing with Delilah. So I thought that was really nice. And that there was like faults in them that were very realistic and didn't make them like bad people. And I didn't feel the need to just like roll my eyes when something happened, except for like Reggie. I was like, you could solve this so easily, bro. Like, you're the one that's making this a problem at this point, buddy. Like, come on. It was just a really, really fun read. I read it really quickly, and it was one of those things of like, I need like a hobby. Like, book club is my one real like consistent hobby. But it's like, I want like a skill now, because she like learns to play guitar and joins this band, and I'm like, I want to do that. I want to be that. So it left me with the like desire to have like something like that, which I think was a really nice thing to be left with from like a YA, like little romance book. But yeah, I really, really liked it.
No, I really liked it too. I thought it was very sweet. I enjoyed all of the characters. I enjoyed all of the things. So I felt like all of the specific interests and things in this book are either things that I do in my own time or that I'm like adjacent to. Like, I don't know how to play any instrument. I can't sing or anything like that, but my partner plays guitar and is like a singer-songwriter. And so I was like, oh, I know a little bit about that, you know, as like a witness. And then obviously I could relate to the gaming stuff. So yeah, I really enjoyed all the, like Tashai said, like the hobbies and stuff. I too have been searching for a hobby that is not book related, Tosh. So, you know, we can help each other find something. It's not going to be instruments for me though. I no musical talent, but something else. Yeah, I honestly, I have zero negative things to say about this book. I really, really enjoyed it.
Speaking of hobbies, so I've got a couple questions here that are book related and, you know, questions that I'm just interested in, like what you wanted to, what you have to say about it, your personal experience from the themes in the book. One of the questions I've got here is thinking back, right? I know both of you say you don't have hobbies now. And audience, please don't judge. Like, life is hard. It's hard to make friends as adults. Sometimes budgets don't allow for hobbies and work hours just don't allow for hobbies. So just keep the faith that Tasha and Drea will get there and have like a hobby. But like, I know that when we were kids, we had hobbies or at least special interests. And so Reggie and Delilah have like hobbies and special interests in this book. And not everybody in their circles like really supports them or understands like what they're trying to do. So my question for you is like, what hobby or special interest did you have like as a child or as a teen that you feel like your family or friends didn't like totally support? And how did you deal with that?
I mean, I did read and write when I was younger, but when you said that question, what actually popped into my head was horseback riding. Because I really love horses. I love them and I still love them. but I was particularly obsessed with them as a child. Like if there was a horse book out there, I read it. All my stories had horses. I collected Barbie horses. Like anything horse really. I had so many horse shirts. But anyway, so I, you know, my parents didn't have a ton of money, but they paid for me to go take a horseback riding lesson once a week. And so they were supportive. Now the issue was, so at school, none of my friends were into horses or did horseback riding. And so in the beginning, people didn't necessarily tease me about it, but I couldn't really talk horses to anyone. When I got to high school, unfortunately, that's around the time Cruel Intentions 2 came out. That has that one horse scene. And so then I started getting explicit. She had like orgasms while riding a horse or something. And so then I was already getting bullied at school. Then I became like the butt of those jokes, which was absolutely terrible. And you can imagine like baby Andrea just being mortified that anybody would think that of me. So that was at school. But then at the stables where I rode, horseback riding is like a rich person sport in the sense that if you want to do it well, you need to have the money to do more than one lesson a week. And if you want to compete, you know, shows cost money. The clothing you have to wear when you go to shows cost money. People generally own their own horses. And, you know, it's like a very expensive thing. And so at the stables, I didn't have any friends either because I was just like that broke kid who went once a week and borrowed a horse from the stable to have my lesson. Whereas all the other girls my age who were there were like serious horse girls who like competed every weekend and had their own horses that they bought in the States and had shipped to Puerto Rico because, I mean, that's how it was in Puerto Rico. You wanted a good horse, you went to the States to buy it and then you brought it over on a little boat. And so it was like a whole thing. And so I always felt like I didn't like belong in the sport when I was with horse people. And then when I wasn't with horse people, it was seen as like, why would you be into that sort of thing? So, yeah, that was like something I really, really loved. And that's why I read so many horse books, because I didn't feel like I could talk about like horses to people. So that was like the thing that like I still, you know, I still don't feel like a real horse girl, you know, because now I don't even ride, because if lessons were expensive when I was growing up, and I say expensive, they were probably like $20, $25. That's it for a lesson. Now, at least where I live, because I've looked into it, like, oh, maybe I could get back into it as an adult. The cheapest places, it's like $75 for 1 hour of like a lesson. So imagine like who can, well, some people can afford $75 a week, but I cannot afford $75 a week. And so I've like never gone back to it. Someday, you know, like I have dreams where I have land and I have a horse and I ride my horse bareback and we have like, you know, a horse whisperer bond going. But yeah, that for me is my thing, that I've always felt like I'm not part of the in group and nobody got me.
You're a horse girl in my heart. 100%.
Thank you.
Tashai, did you have a hobby or special interest that you feel like you were not supported or feel like you totally belonged to when you were a kid or a teen?
My parents kept me in the same like private school for like my entire academic career from pre-K until high school. I was in the same fucking school because it was close to my mom, close to my mom's job, and she wanted to like keep me safe and whatever. And I remember just being so mad because I had hope after eighth grade that I'd be able to start ninth grade in the public school in my town. And they had like after school programs and like you could do dancing, you could do theater, you could do like photography. They had all these after school programs because they had the funding for it. And my mom just like ended up keeping me in the private school. The private school added a ninth grade, then they added a 10th grade, then they added the 11th grade. And I kept being like, Mom, I want to go to the public school. I want to be able to do dance classes and like theater. I think I could do well. And she's like, Nope, we're not going to do it. You're going to stay in the private school because you need to be close to me and it's like safer. And that's like, that's that one bitter pill that's in me, because to this day I'm still convinced that if I had been allowed to go to that public school and do private, like do actual fucking after school events, I could have been on the Disney Channel. Like I was convinced in my mind, I was like, if my family had let me fucking develop a skill that I could then put on an audition tape, I could have been on the Disney Channel, and then I could have ended up doing made-for-TV movies, and that's how my family would have been able to get out of Puerto Rico's, like, get out, you know, get somewhere where the electricity worked all the time, and, like, water didn't get cut off every other day. So that was one where, even to this day, I'm like, I hope y'all are putting my nephew into after-school activities, because we all know that my potential was lost long ago.
Like, it sucks when you want to do stuff and you just want to have fun. And through some reason or another, whether it's like you can't do it, you can't afford it, or like you can do it, but then you're not accepted really fully, it sucks. It really sucks. And it sucks the fun out of the hobby. The reason I was asking is because, right, Reggie and Delilah have like these special interests. Reggie is really into Dungeons and Dragons. And then with Delilah, she is actually pretty embraced in the hobby that she's kind of like chosen. She's in this punk band, but, you know, like her other band members don't necessarily make her feel super welcome. They don't like include her in like the business part of it. And it really does feel like they have her there to, you know, she's almost like a diversity hire. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a bunch of white guys and she's there and it's like, whoa, check out this band with the black girl singing punk songs. And, you know, people are into that. And this is another thing, like black punk has existed for a long time. People like don't even realize that black people invented punk rock. And so, that's why I was kind of like bringing it up, because even though these activities are supposed to be really fun, there's like a stress there. And it's kind of like leading me into this question about the character. So like, based on the character, right, which one of the kiddos did you, like each of them were having like a crisis of self-confidence, right? Reggie wants to be like more confident, wants to be the kind of guy who can date Delilah. Delilah is trying to figure out her place in the world and be really decisive and not just like shrug stuff off. So like, which one did you feel like you kind of like maybe related to or felt like you really understood more? And if both, then whatever, a combination of the two.
Definitely related to aspects of both of them. But I think at this current moment, I related more to Delilah because publishing is like a really hard business to be in. You know, especially when, I don't know if you're not familiar with how publishing works, it's hard. And I struggle with being visible and, you know, feeling like I can't say certain things or that if I do say some things, it'll like bounce back at me like in a negative way. And I felt like she kind of struggled with that too, where like she wanted to be on stage, but she wanted to be on stage like on her own terms. And sometimes things made her uncomfortable, but then she felt like she couldn't speak about it because other people didn't understand why it made her feel uncomfortable. And I just felt like I've gone through things like that, you know, as an author. And so I related, I think, to that aspect of it more, even though you know, I'm not in the music world at all, but I think some of the things she was going through, I think a lot of authors also go through.
I'd say probably Delilah too, but not the part where she like has done the thing and like has to be in the space and like defend herself wanting to be there and deserving to be there. I feel like the part of her where I like want to have something that serves as an opportunity to feel like more in myself, and that like before of like I want to have something that like can be mine and I can work at it and be good at it and feel confident that I know that I'm good at it. I think that there are some skills that I really admire because it takes a lot of concentration and practice, but also because at the end of it, you like have something like something physical that you can like touch and look at. And I think that's the gap that I'm trying to fill, is something that has like a physical equivalent that I can show and be like, look, here's like a thing that I know how to do. And then I think eventually I'll probably end up the version of her that doesn't have confidence that what I'm doing is good. Like I feel like that'll be part of the journey too, will be the like, I'm not sure if once I get to a place that it's like, oh, I deserve to be here because I'm good at that. Because that happens to me at work. Like me at my job, I'm good at my job. I'm a good copywriter within my field, but it's very easy to be like, but like I'm not that great, or like I'm not ready for more responsibilities, or like, nah. So I don't know. I think it'd be wonderful to get to the post all of that version of Delilah where she's like, I am a good musician. I do deserve to be on the stage and y'all can like fuck off.
I love that part in the book where she's like, fuck y'all. I'm like, I'm glad that she didn't cut him any slack for that. For me, it's very similar. I feel like, weirdly, I feel like very much like both of them in like a lot of different ways. Like I feel like they captured a lot of me in like obvious ways and then like less obvious ways. I'm definitely a fake it to make it kind of girl. You know, so Reggie kind of like role playing and like pretending he was more confident than he actually was. That's just me on a regular basis. And then with Delilah, I also feel like I am that way because I do like to play it off like I don't care. You know, I'm like, nothing can hurt me. Nothing can touch me when I'm an incredibly sensitive person and things hurt me constantly. You know what I mean? It's just like a little balance between the two. Another thing that I found myself like really connecting with was being Black enough for some things and not being Black enough for others. Like as someone who is like biracial, my father is Black, my mom is white. And there are certain things that the side of my family who is Black would criticize me about, the way that I talked or whatever, the music that I listened to. On the other hand, on my mother's side, and this is also being like white, but like in Puerto Rico, where it's like, oh, like you like American things. Oh, you like things that like we, you know, why do you like these shows? Like, why do you watch Sailor Moon? Like no one else at school watched it because like it was in English. And it was like, well, obviously because I like it and I understand it, but like nobody understood it. And just knowing English was a big deal too. And so it was just like, I felt like I could never fit in anywhere. Like I was a happy kid and I can't complain about like my childhood because it wasn't like torture. It was only angsty and torturous in the way like a regular life was. But I did always feel like I was out of place everywhere. I felt like I was completely out of place in school. I felt like, sorry, I was way too smart for that school. So I was too shy. And I wish that you had been able to go to public school, even if just to experience after school shit. I've always tried to keep a lot of hobbies because that's just something that I've always liked to do. And it hasn't been as difficult for me to like continue doing that as an adult. But when I was a teen, it was hard. And it was hard like at school, but it was also hard at home because then it's like, I don't feel like people here get me? Man, it was just like, sometimes you sit down and you think about all like the little, just the little cuts that you get.
Microaggressions.
Yeah. All the little cuts that you get as you're growing up. And I don't know. One of the things that I found really gratifying is that they kind of got to a good place within themselves. And it's one of those, like, I was able to be like, oh, I wish I had this book when I was a kid, but I'm okay. I don't think that's what I'm thinking. I'm just glad that these characters got to experience something that I wish that I had, which is like a really good group that accepted me when I was a young person, or my family showing me like a lot of like support in terms of my identity when I was a young person, because now I'm a grown up and I don't need validation from any of those people. But it would have come a long way. It would have gone a long way if I had had it when I was a teen. So that's one of the reasons why I also really enjoyed this book. So heavy. Like, this book is really cute. And I'm sorry that like I brought up all the hobby questions, but I wanted to know, and it did bring up a lot of stuff for me, because I was enjoying it, but I was also like, mano, you know, like.
No, I mean, you're right. I say that it's like a merenguito in the sense that, like, I think Elise is really talented at what she does, right? And she does have like a lot of hard hitting stuff, but she makes it feel smooth. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm explaining it right. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't. You know, sometimes you read a book with like heavy things and then you finish and you're just like sitting there, like staring into space. Like, this is not that kind of book, you know? And I think a lot of it is what you said, Chris, where it's like the kids are okay, you know, in the book. And yeah, I agree. I don't know that having this book as a kid would have changed anything for me, because I think my issue was that I did not have that support anywhere. People thought they were supporting me, but they weren't necessarily supporting me. But yeah, I'm glad that it's out there now, and that kids have, you know what I mean, like the kids who like reading and Dungeons and Dragons can go read a book about a kid who plays Dungeons and, like, that kind of stuff. Like, I don't remember seeing stuff like that in books, like, at all. So it's cool that,
yeah, and he writes like stuff about, you know, he's a critical,
and I love that he uses all the apps and stuff.
Yeah, he's got dyslexia, like, so he uses text to speech
as yes, and just like as a teacher, it just, I like seeing that in books, because I think like often kids, I like that he said, why is it an issue that I want to use these apps forever? You know what I mean? Like, that kind of representation, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
Because lots of kids have trouble reading, you know, the way we're supposed to in school, you know, and that's why we're inventing all these apps, is for people mm-hmm. to use them. So and I love that.
It's dumb to think that like accommodations should only exist in the school, like in the school space, when companies like also have accommodation requirements. Like, we are, as a mm-hmm. people, understanding that your ability to perform a task may have other requirements, but that, why should you not have access to that? Mm-hmm. So like, access to accommodations is like a really big thing. It's expanding more and more every year. Mm-hmm. So it is good to have him say, well, why would I give up something that helps me function in the world that I live in? Like, he should. You just figure out how to incorporate that mm-hmm. into your day-to-day even more, and help it turn you into like an even better version of what you're trying.
When I read that, I didn't know that she used to be a teacher before she was an author. But when I read that, I was like, Elise has been in schools. Just the minute the word IEP came up, I'm like, Elise, are you one of my people?
Oh yeah, she is
one of us. Yeah, pretty much.
And I mean, the fact of the matter is that even though like accommodations exist, we live in a deeply, deeply ableist society. Mm-hmm. And so just the fact that we had a young character kind of like advocate for himself and what works for him in his life, gold star. Loved it. Love to see it, because it's fucking tough out here,
and,
man.
And not just that, but to show him as like a successful writer who has lots of people reading his writing, that he does using like speech to text. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't just an accommodation to like help you get by the bare minimum. Like, no, you can still do all the things that other people are like, you can still be a good writer if you, even if you use apps, you know, to write, you know, that's it's like, oh, can you be a reader if you only do audiobooks? Yes, it's like the same mentality, you know. So it was really cool to see him be a writer and to see him being recognized for his writing that he did using these apps. I really enjoyed that.
Awesome. All right, let's talk a little bit about the romance. This being a romance book club and all, gosh, it took me a little while, but it's okay. I've got at least one question about the romance here. And it is a little bit about how the book is structured, right? And so the story takes place in the span of a year, right? Over like holidays. They like keep meeting and holidays before they're actually like texting and interacting quite often in between those holidays. They also have hobbies that keep them busy. So scheduling is a problem, but it's not an insurmountable one. However, when they first meet, it does feel like it's like insta-love. So I felt like there was this interesting combination of insta-love versus like a slow burn romance, because they don't get to hang out as often. They don't exchange numbers right away. And I wanted to know how you felt about that, how you felt about the mix of those two. And do you think that, you know, do you think that she pulled it off in a really convincing way? Were you convinced by the romance on how it was structured?
I think yes, because I think it was insta-love for Reggie, which makes sense because Delilah sounds really freaking cute and like cool. And obviously she's going to be there singing and it's going to like blow people's minds and be like awesome. Where I think for Delilah, it was like, oh, this guy's kind of cute. Like, what a nice person. And she was like, good. She just was like, I'll never see him again. Live my life. And he's like, oh my God, my heart beats for thee. So I thought that was cute because I can believe that, because like, you know, what with what happened with my relationship and all that, you know, sometimes people aren't impressed at a first meeting, and then it has to build. And I like that they didn't exchange info right away, because that is the kind of thing that happens. You do meet a stranger who you think is super hot or seems super cool, and you want to talk to them again. But you know that it's like you're going to seem like a crazy person because you don't know this person. They don't know you. So like you can't just get everyone's info as soon as you meet anybody. So I like that it's almost like he was trying to like orchestrate another meet cute. And she was just like uninvolved. Like she just was living her life and they happened to meet. And I like that she did take her time with him, even when she thought he was cute. Like, I think the way that she approached it was really, like, realistic of, I don't know you, but you're cute, and we're, like, getting to know each other. So I like it. And I so much appreciated that the book took place over a year, because that almost never happens. It really, like, so much of the time, it's like, who'd have thought those 3 months ago when we met during camp that now we'd be getting married? Like, sometimes it's like a little too fast, especially for like the youths. So I don't know. I liked the pace of it. I liked the speed of it. It didn't feel superficial. It felt like I could see this happening. Like I liked the plottiness of it all, of it being like holidays. I think that's just like an added layer of cute. For the sake of the story, but I feel like the relationship they develop is that much more grounded in a real connection that they've developed because it takes place over a year, even though it is so cutesy at the beginning. Like, I believe that this is how their relationship would develop in the real world, too.
Yeah, I really liked it, too, and I also like that it took place over a year. I think in YA especially, I don't think you get that whole we met one night and then never saw each other again sort of thing as often, because usually, you know, depending on where books are set, right, chances are that like every teenager in that same town goes to the same high school, you know, and so it's hard for that kind of book to happen, right? Because you're just gonna see this kid at school, you know. Like there's not that many high school, you know, a lot of high schools are humongous. It's like thousands, like chances are the person goes there. So I thought it was so well done, you know, in that she had them be from like different sections of the same city, and they went to completely different schools and had truly, they would never have crossed paths, you know, other than the fact that they happened to be at this place that played live music. So I thought that was a really smart setup, because I feel like you get this kind of insta romance, but then we never saw each other again a lot in adult romance, but you don't get it as much in YA. So it was really cool to see that. And you know, and to have them both be like, oh, well, I tried looking this person up, but like, I couldn't find them, because that happens all the time too. Like if you only know the first person's name and you don't know anything about them, like it's hard. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I liked how it was set up with the texting in between the holidays and stuff too, because I think otherwise it might not have felt, you know how sometimes we've read books, I think I'm specifically thinking of that like Aurora's Angel one, where it was like, it felt like 2 years had gone by, it was like a week. You know, I think that could have happened in this book, but the texting and stuff like that made it very clear to us that like time was going by between the times they would see each other. And, you know, it was like, oh, I'm going off to work. Oh, okay. Maybe we can meet up. Oh, maybe, you know, it just made you feel like time was going by. So I thought that was really well done too. And I think this is maybe one of the first times that I've seen the "there's only one bed" trope in a YA too. And for a minute there, I was like, yeah.
I thought it was so funny in the "there's only one bed" moment where she's like, why isn't he making any move? And I'm like, girl, what makes you think in knowing him thus far that he's the kind of person who would make a move without you? Like,
because he tried. He did try to make a move.
And he did try to kiss her.
She's like, nah. I'm like, girl, he's not going to do that again, especially mm-hmm. not in like a hotel room. Like that ups the stakes by like 100,000%.
I also like the structure of, yeah, insta love for Reggie. And, you know, and that makes sense because she's hung up on the guy in her band too.
Carly.
Ugh. So, so I like that it was like insta love for one of them, kind of slow burn for the other. I think that worked really well. I think that sometimes it's not that it doesn't work, but it just feels a little too contrived, especially when you read romance regularly. You see the story beats and it's good. It's good. But sometimes, I don't know, when it doesn't happen exactly that way, it was actually really satisfying to see just like a variation of how it could work. Here's another way that this could work. And it did feel true to form of like, yeah, we didn't get our info right away. I probably will never see them again. But I did like that she did try to look into the stuff that he was talking about. Mm-hmm. If someone had like tried to find like my D&D essays, you know, like, oh, I tried to look for it, but I couldn't find it because, you know, I was like writing under a pen name. Well, for I'd be a goner. I would be a complete goner.
And you know what? You know what scene I also really liked that I thought contributed super great to the pacing and stuff is when they're finally gonna meet up and then he's like trying to be cool and be late. But because I can totally see that happening in real life too, you know, she's like, okay, this is gonna happen now, we're gonna do it, we're gonna hang out, and then like he doesn't show like the disappointment, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
it wasn't a smooth start at all. No, he had to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's one thing to be like 20 minutes late. Like I could see that. I could see like, oh yeah, I'll like head over soon, and like you give it like 20 minutes, show you're not like so in a rush. But like 2-3 hours? Are you dumb?
We talk about how, you know, it doesn't follow the same kind of like insta love beats that other romance does. However, there is a third ad breakup. And, you know, the shoe had to drop because they were both, I think, showing up for this, but in a way that maybe wasn't like super authentic or that they weren't ready for in a specific way. So I want to know your thoughts on that. How did you feel about the resolution of the story after they break up? You know, he does his grand gesture. He does the podcast episode. And do you think that Delilah was being unfair in how she dealt with it? Do you think that Reggie could have done something differently? I just want to know what you thought about that resolution.
Okay. I don't think she was being unfair. I think I would have also been really upset. I think it's hard when you are led to believe that a person is a certain way and then, you know, that it's actually, you know, not the case. And I think I would have been also very thrown by that. Again, not because I necessarily cared if he was on this podcast or not, or, you know, but, you know, I feel like she takes a lot of risks in the book, and indirectly or directly, a lot of that was inspired by Reggie, you know? And so if that had been me, I probably would have reacted a similar way where it's like, I'm out here doing all these things. And like, I thought you had my back because you've also been doing all these scary things. And then it turned out, you know, I would have been really upset too. However, I think for me, not that I didn't like the resolution, but I didn't understand why so much time passed. Like if I had been Delilah and that happened and then he showed up with this grand gesture like a month after our fight, like I would have already been over with him at that point. Like I would have moved on. Like, sorry, like the window is not open for a whole month. The window was there, but I closed it y le puse el pestillito, you know what I mean? Like you're not opening the window. So that for me was the only weird thing. I thought it took them both way too long to make up, in my opinion.
I agree with her reaction because, like Andrea said, it's not that he lied about like a hobby. Like he lied about his personality. And I think that's a really big difference because if I am dating you, because I think you are like an empathetic, like understanding person. And then I find out that you are actually like a piece of shit. I have the right to, you know, be mad about that. And it's not like, obviously this isn't that extreme, but at that point, you know, she's met his friends. She's spent time with the groups of people that he hangs out with. And he's looped his friends into this lie. It's become this like bigger con. And so then it's like, well, where does the line between what's real and what's fake get drawn? Because you lied with your friends, but then put her in a situation where with your family, she had no idea what she was walking into. She was totally unprepared for that dynamic. She, you know, what if she had also been someone who struggled with like bullying in her home? And then she walks into this situation and is just seeing all of this shit going down and has no context for it. That's a really embarrassing place to be in, to say that, you know, to feel that you've like fallen for somebody and they pulled the wool over your eyes and tricked you with this grand scale scheme that his friends were in on for like months. Like, I totally understand where she's coming from with her reaction. I even think that like her feeling like she missed him and that kind of stuff, I think if it were me, I probably would have still been really pissed about it. And I don't think that the grand gesture made as much sense. I think the podcast part of it, like, okay, he's apologizing, like, fine, that kind of makes sense. I thought he was probably going to write like a piece about it or something, maybe something to do with like being black and being ashamed of your identity. Like I thought that was where it was probably going to go, not like creating a D&D adventure type thing for the podcast. And showing up in like the costume also just felt, I don't know. That's where it like jumped the shark a little bit for me. Cause I'm like, you don't like, I don't think you need any of that part of everything. Like, her whole thing was like, you weren't honest with me, not, oh, you weren't like authentically your nerdy self. You were still your nerdy self with me. We went on a comic book date. Like, you didn't hide your nerdy self. You like hid the fact that you were ashamed of that. And so like that math didn't quite add up for me. Her feelings, I think, definitely made a lot of sense. If I had like one part that I would like tweak, it would probably be that. But I think it makes sense to me that like they did make up because it's something that they can work through. But I think Delilah, realistically, it would probably take a couple of more months to like be able to trust that he was being his like realistic self around her. And I am glad that the family had the conversation, but it was also like with his resolution with his family part of it too. That was like, oh, I'm just being your older brother. I didn't realize that I was like tormenting you and traumatizing you. Like, I was just kidding. Shut the fuck up. No, yeah, you did. You knew you were being a dickhead. So that part of it was like the switch flip of the brother going from like, you're fucking like a loser to like, don't you talk about my brother that way. Those are my two pain points.
Yeah, I did think that the brother thing was going to go down a different way. Like, I think it was just like his brother was going to feel so guilty that he like inadvertently caused him to lose like this one person. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was going to be like, oh shit, like my actions have consequences. Like, I just caused them to break up and you know what I mean? Like, I thought it was going to go in that direction. Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't, you know, these are like very small, like if I had written the story, maybe I would have written that part slightly differently, but the story still hit for me. I, you know, I like that they made up. I thought the whole D&D thing was cute. I just was confused why it took so long. That's all.
I think that both of you make really good points for the resolution, both in how long it took, because I know what you're saying, and I also think that it probably would have taken longer for Delilah to truly forgive Reggie, like honestly, realistically.
No, and I'm not saying that it should have taken less time for her to forgive him, but for
Reggie
time,
to act.
Yeah, for him to act. Less time for the act itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I also felt like
with his friend too, by the way, because he waited like 3 weeks before he apologized
for
being like a dick.
I mean, the only thing that I can kind of like maybe see explaining that maybe is because, you know, the podcast stuff takes a while to edit, mm-hmm. put together and publish, and there might be other episodes in the line. Yeah. I don't know. I only know edit and publish this podcast. So anyway, but I also felt like, well, what does one thing have to do with the other here? Like what Tashai said about like, you know, mm-hmm. him being authentic. I will say that like getting constantly, you know, when like people are like, oh, like you dress up like an elf, and when you're just doing Dungeons and Dragons and someone calls you a fucking LARPer, you're like, it's not the same fucking thing. People don't understand the difference and it's annoying. And then so I felt like maybe Reggie humbling himself and doing a LARP was kind of like the way to show like, okay, this, I'm truly prostrating myself and like, you know, absolutely just being exactly what I don't want people to think I am or whatever. But I also wish there had been a little bit more substance to his apology in terms of I'm really showing up for Delilah. But it was a minor thing as well, but that's why I asked, because I felt like there was something missing there. I felt like the book overall was really strong, and I felt like those last chapters were rushed and there was a little bit of a disconnect. The stuff with the family too, I felt like it was like an intense conversation, but I also felt like, and I also understand the brother being like, well, you know, if you're gonna hear from someone, it may as well be me, because that has, I've had that fucking conversation with people, but let it be said that they absolutely do know that they are hurting you. It's not like excusable at all. Do you know what I mean? It's not, it's like speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You can't say that you're trying to help me while also tearing me down. Do you realize what you're doing?
I also would have maybe respected him a little bit more if it had been like, okay, you know how like some brother characters are like, well, nobody fucks with him but me.
Exactly.
You know? But he wasn't that character either because he let his friends say all sorts of shit. He did. As well.
And that wasn't, so it just wasn't as satisfying.
Like,
no.
Yeah. Like it wasn't like that either. It wasn't like only I get to say this. Like, no, he let everybody say it.
And it took a little bit of satisfaction away from me not to hear him like really stand up for Reggie. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, I'll make sure to do this in the future. Like, I wanted to see him put his friend in his place because that's my brother, and you don't talk to him like that. And that would have been enough. And I would have been like, okay, no notes. Taylor Swift, I can't relate, but that's not my fight. But yeah, that's all my questions. Did you have anything that you wanted to talk about, questions or something that maybe I didn't bring up but you wanted to discuss, or we can just jump into final thoughts?
Yeah, like I already said, I really enjoyed this book. I think it's one of those books that has like really sweet side characters too. I know we didn't really talk about them too much, but like I really enjoyed her sister, Delilah's sister, and Reggie's friends. Like I would have gladly seen like more scenes with them too. I think this would be an excellent movie. I think it would be so cute. So and then we'd get to like hear it, you know? Like I wanna be wowed by Delilah on stage. I know you told me how I would be wowed, but I'm not the visual auditory, so I need an actress to stand on that stage and sing her heart out.
I think this would be super fun. I also even feel like this would be a really cute like series. Like if you did a Netflix series and the episodes hit the like holidays that they hung out together, I think that would be really cute too, a la Heartstopper or like Heartbreak High, but obviously that was like super dramatic.
Yeah,
but
like
I love that show.
Heartstopper meets the last season of Gilmore Girls, where they did each season or something like that.
Oh yeah, a year in the life.
A year in the life. Yeah, that would be really, really cute.
That would be really cute.
I think that would be super fun because then you would get to like experience the season.
Yeah, maybe we're saying this and for all we know, the rights have already been picked up. You know what I mean? And we just don't know it.
Yes. That'd be super fun. I would love to see that.
Maybe Elise is in the UK celebrating that this is going to be made into a Netflix series that we don't even know. I'm like putting the vibes out there.
Yes. I think that'd be so cute because then you would also get to see the like actual physical evolution of Delilah's stage presence too.
Ooh, and the D&D games.
Yeah.
He has like a board, you know, he has like the miniatures. Like I don't mention it in the book, but that's what I was visualizing.
Yeah. I would also love to see some of that like cartoony stuff that happens in Heartstopper. So like when he first sees her, I'd be like and her looking at him normally like, hey, nice to meet you. And he's just like I think that'd be really fun. I really, really enjoyed it. This is a good pick.
Oh yeah. I'm really happy to hear you say that. And here's hoping, you know, like we're sending the vibes. Let's get hopefully we get a Netflix special, movie or series or limited series. Hopefully we'll make it happen. Supporting the writer strike. So once they do that contract, love somebody to work on this. all right, so that's what we read this month. Are you reading anything else? Well, I am finishing up An Island's Princess Starts a Scandal. I'm prepping for our bonus episode, which will come out at some point. We're recording it soon, so it'll come out at some point in July, part of our Sapphic summer and recovery program for the ultimatum. And yeah, so I'm finishing with this, and so that's kind of like a plug for our bonus episode. And I'm leafing through this arc, this coveted arc that I've got here, Something Like Home from Andrea Beatriz Arango. I mean, I don't know her, but like I read her first book and it was so good. And this one has a dog in it, and I know it's going to be even better. These arcs are like coveted; they're worth their weight in gold. So I'm really happy I got mine. And I'm making my way through it and trying to keep it together and also brainstorming how I'm going to take a really cool picture with my dog.
I love how you say that Island Princess is part of your like ultimatum recovery program. Unfortunately, I read it before we finished watching the ultimatum.
That's so timing. It's timing.
Yeah, timing. I couldn't use it for that. But if you didn't watch all of our past episodes, we read A Caribbean Heiress in Paris as Only Lovers. So this is book two in the series. But anyway, I just started Once in a Blue Moon. I don't know if you can see the cover, Sharon Flake. It's a historical fiction book in verse. So I feel like I haven't read a lot of historical fiction in verse. And not historical fiction like, oh, it happened in the 90s. But like historical fiction like, oh, it happened in the 30s. You know, like real historical. It's North Carolina in the 1930s. And it's so far, I don't know a lot because it's one of those books where like the back doesn't tell you a lot, you know, it's like spoiler free or whatever. Something happened to like the boy and now he's like scared to leave his house. So he has like anxiety and like agoraphobia, but I don't think they had like those exact words for things in the 1930s. You know, so he keeps calling it his condition. But anyway, the sister has doves on her roof, and now all I want is to have doves on my, like she raises them. So I'm already into this book because who wouldn't want to have a bunch of pet doves?
I find myself in the same position as always, where I have too many books going on at the same time. I am reading Burnout, The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle, as like my current self-help book. Then for fun, I'm reading Princess in Pink, which is like the fifth Princess Diaries book. Those are really fast reads, so I've been plowing through them. I read the first one maybe like last week, and between last week and this week, I've read the like next four. My loan for the Once and Future Witches came through, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to like get through it in time. I have it due in 8 days. So we'll see if I can like get started on that one. Cause I'm about 80% through Princess in Pink, but I'm only 2% into the Once and Future Witches. There's already three people in line after me.
That's it's a chonky one. I haven't read it, but I know it's.
Yeah. I think it's going to be the kind of thing where I have to like borrow it physically because I think they're going to take it away before I can get too far into it.
All right. Well, that's what we're reading. And that wraps up our discussion of Reggie and Delilah's Year of Falling by Elise Bryant. Next month, we will be reading. Next month is Tashai's pick. And we will be reading an Enemies to Lovers Pride and Prejudice inspired romance. It's a contemporary romance called Just As You Are by Camille Kellogg. So look for that at the end of July. That wraps up this episode of Only Lovers Book Club. Thank you for making it to the end and spending some time with us. For me, it was just an hour, but this was a year of you and me getting to know each other. Make sure to like the video and leave us a comment. If you're listening, don't forget to leave us a review. 5 stars, no less. You can support Only Lovers Book Club by subscribing to our shows and sharing our episodes. You can also drop some change into our tip jar and buy some books from our bookshop. We've got YA, we've got adult romance, we've got erotica. All right, a little something for everybody. And you can find us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.